Chapter 10. Hugo Strang. As Dan arrived at Gatwick Airport, Hugo Strang was leaving his fashionable West London flat. He was a little late that morning. He had entertained a group of visiting American politicians the night before. It had been a late night. Strang was 45, slim and classically handsome. Keeping fit was almost a religion with him. It was part of his competitive character. He was always perfectly dressed, with a quiet but fashionable elegance, and always knowledgeable and charming, something that meant he had hundreds of friends. Needless to say, these friends were all high flyers, leaders just like him, and he treated ordinary people like rubbish, kicking them out of his way when necessary. His friends greatly admired how much he knew, how well he spoke foreign languages. They also admired his clever jokes and his expensive lifestyle. But people who worked with him, or worse, worked for him, hated him for his ambition, his total selfishness, and his pride. Of course, he had all the right connections. His family had been rich landowners for centuries. He was educated at public school and Oxford University, leaving with a first-class degree. He had been interviewed and chosen for MI6 as soon as he left Oxford. His sharp, cold mind and his skill at making himself useful to his superiors had led to immediate success. After working in Berlin, he had been moved back to London. There, he became one of the inner circle of people who really made the important decisions. It was while he was head of the Latin American department in London that he had planned the San Cristobal operation. Yet, although he was so successful, no one really trusted him. Perhaps that was why he was still not married. And many people asked themselves where he got all the money he needed to support his expensive lifestyle. There had also been that unfortunate event involving Peter Perkins, which had almost ruined him. But that was all a long time ago now. But people still talked about him, behind his back, of course. As he entered his office, the phone rang.
Strang!
He recognized Sir Clive's voice immediately. It sounded angry and aggressive.
What's going on? The woman called the emergency number last night. The operation in France went wrong. You promised me that everything would be taken care of. Our friend escaped. We don't know where he is. What are you going to do about it?
But, sir... Everything was planned down to the last detail. I don't see how it could possibly...
Well, it did go wrong. Very badly wrong. So how are you going to put it right? Daniel Combs is a double danger to us now. He knows what he knew before. That was why we needed to remove him. But now he also knows that someone tried to kill him. And it won't take him long to work out who was behind it all. So you don't have long to take care of it. I can't afford to have all this in the newspapers. That's why we decided to deal with him in the first place.
I'll take care of it, sir. Don't worry. I understand.
I hope you do. If I go down, I'll take you with me. And by the way, I think you'll need to get rid of the woman, too. I've decided to get you-know-who back from the US. He can deal with her. We've already been in touch with him. He arrives this evening on the 10 o'clock flight from New York. You'd better meet him. Make sure he knows what he has to do. And don't lose sight of him. We will need to deal with him, too, later.